Our dearest Lord of the universe, our enchanting Chittachora, the one who has stolen the hearts of each and every one of us present here, our Antaryami, our Hridayavasi, our most loving and reverential pranams at your beautiful divine lotus feet. Swami, we, your children from Zone 4 and 5 of the Satya Sai International Organization, comprising of countries such as Nepal, Sri Lanka, Thailand, Laos, Malaysia, Singapore, Brunei, Japan, and Taiwan, are extremely grateful and blessed to celebrate the holy occasion of Buddha Purnima in your immediate divine presence. Swami, we pray for your permission and blessing to inaugurate the celebration of Buddha Purnima 2016. The teachings of Lord Buddha, you have always stressed on ahimsa. You have said, ahimso paro dharma. Ahimsa is the greatest dharma of all. The love principle inherent in man is equally present in all beings, birds and beasts included. Therefore, one has to place the same value on all lives of all beings. Share the love latent within you with not only your fellow men, but also all other creatures of nature. This is the true universal love principle. Such principles alone should be the basis of one's life. In line with this, Swami, the theme of Buddha Purnima celebrations this year is Compassion, the Foundation of Ahimsa. Swami, allow us to begin the celebration today with an offering of traditional Buddhist chants by the devotees of Thailand and Sri Lanka.
Timina sakarena buddhang apipushayami Himina sakarena dhammang apipushayami Himina sakarena sanghang apipushayami Arahang samma samputho bhagava Buddhang bhagavantang apivathemi Sawakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami Supatipanno bhagavato sawaka sangho sanghang namami Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Buddhang saranang gacchami Dhammang saranang gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami
Tutiyampi
Dhammang saranang kacchami.
Tutiyampi
Sanghang saranang kacchami.
Tatiyampi
Buddhang saranang kacchami.
Tatiyampi
Dhammang saranang kacchami.
Tatiyampi
Sanghang saranang kacchami.
Iti piso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vicca charana sampanno sukhato lokavitu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manussanam buddho bhagavati Sovakato
bhagavata tamo santitiko akaliko ehipasiko opanayiko pacatam vetitapo vinyuhiti
supatipanno
bhagavato savakasangho Ucupanipanno bhagavato savakasangho Yayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Samicipatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Yakitang cattari purisayukhani Atta purisapukhala Esa bhagavato savakasangho Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakkhineyo, anchalikaraniyo Anuttaram punyakhetang lokasati
Delivering the welcome address today is Dr. V.K. Ravindran. Dr. Ravindran has been a devotee of Swami since 1978 and has served in various capacities of leadership, including Vice President of the Sathya Sai Central Council of Malaysia, Central Coordinator of Region 41, and currently the Zone Chair of Zone 4 countries. Professionally, Dr. Ravindran is an ENT surgeon serving in Johor Bahru, Malaysia. We would like to welcome Dr. Ravindran to deliver the opening address and subsequently introduce the speakers for today.
My humble pranams and my love to Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba, who has been the directing light in my life. Brothers, sisters, Om Sri Sai Ram. Today we assembled at the Sai Kulund Hall for a purpose, and that is to celebrate the occasion of Buddha Purnima. We have been celebrating this celebration for the past 25 years, and Swami had always encouraged us to continue on this sadhana, and I wish to express my gratitude to all the devotees from various countries mentioned by sister, who have come here to participate in this wonderful Buddha Purnima. Three important events occurred on the day of this Buddha Purnima. Not this Buddha Purnima, on Purnimi day in this month of Vishakha. And that is the birth of Buddha himself to the Nirvana of himself. And finally, the Parinirvana, the exit of Buddha himself. So we must take this as a whole, because Buddha came to this world as a prince, and you all know the story of how he changed his life and decided to take the path of a renunciant. It is not easy for a person of priestly state to be one, but it was his desire to go within and search for nirvana. As you well know, he was kept in the palace for quite some time because of the astrologers who told the king that this prince will either be a great emperor or a great renunciant. And suffice to say, Buddha saw three sights, or rather four sights, in his endeavor to seek within. He was well nourished and well fed while in the palace. One day, it dawned on him that he should go out of the palace. And what do you see? The first was an aged man. He asked his chariot attendant, "Do we all get old?" "Yes." Second sight was that of a sick man. And he asked, "Will you all get sick?" "Yes, we'll all get sick." And the third one was that he saw a corpse being taken. And he asked, "Is this the way out? People die?" He had no idea what life was all about. And after that, he met the fourth sight, that is of a person who was in bliss. And he realized that the journey is not outside. The journey is within himself. And as you well know, attain nirvana. Some of the teachings that I'd like to mention here is, he's always mentioned that the four cardinal principles of Buddhism are sarvam dukkham. This life is full of suffering. If you see a happy man, he's not happy. He's outside happy. Inside he's sad. He is full of dukkham, suffering. Sarvam shanikam means everything is momentary, transient. It is never permanent. It is impermanent. Sarvam anatma meaning it is not atmic. It is anatmic. And the only solution is nirvana gives you shantam. Nirvana is shantam. So nirvana is peace. Therefore he based his search for peace by understanding what is the cause of this suffering. And he realized it is man's folly, for desires overtake him and he becomes a slave of the desires. Therefore he realized control of the senses and control of the mind was the essence of change. And he then told about the Eightfold Pathway to our nirvana, which the speakers after me will tell you. Don't forget that to enter this path, you must also have these five resolutions. We call it five resolves. And that is ahimsa. Himsa means to destroy. Ahimsa means non-violent. Here not only violence of nature, but violence of anything. Baba says, help ever, hurt never. Satya. Baba says satya is the second one. You must be truthful. To be a Buddhist, you must be truthful. Asteya. Asteya means don't look for others' treasures or pleasures. And you must be a brahmachari, meaning control your senses. Finally, refrain from intoxication. And thus, Buddha said, it is each one of us can reach nirvana if the journey you take goes within yourself. As Christ said, the kingdom of heaven is not outside you, is within you. So we must all try to go within. Swami has given us number of chances and we have not understood the teachings of Bhagwan. For us to practice, we all talk about the teachings, but we do not practice the teachings of Bhagwan. But sisters, With this introduction, I would like to take this opportunity of introducing the speakers for today. We have two speakers. One is, the first one is Brother Sampath C. Gunarvadina. He's a man, he's an information technology professional with nearly 25 years of global experience in consulting, business transformation and strategy. He's a founder, director of Stelios Private Limited, on information technology service organization, specialized in consulting, program management and governance in business technology alignment for multiple industry domains. Sampath has been involved with Sri Sathya Sai organization of Colombo, Sri Lanka for more than 12 years and was instrumental in developing the official website of the Sri Sathya Sai International Organization of Sri Lanka. The next speaker which will follow Brother Sampath is Brother Anura. Brother Anura was born into a family who are very active in the Sai organization. He grew up serving in the Sri Sathya Sai Baba Center of Queenstown in Singapore. He is currently the secretary of the center, spiritual wing convener, and also a teacher of SSEHV classes. He is currently represents the center in the Sri Sathya Sai organization of the Singapore Council. He is also the vice president of the National University of Singapore, Sathya Sai University, Sathya Sai Society. In the Buddhist community, Anura served as the youth group chairman of the Singapore Singala Buddhist Association. Brother Anura graduated from the National University of Singapore with a Bachelor of Science in Biological Sciences and works in the field of regulatory affairs and compliance, working previously with companies such as ExxonMobil, GE and TechnoApex. Let me welcome the first speaker today, and that is Brother Sampath, onto the stage. Thank you.
Sri Sai Ram, my reverential prayers to our most beloved Lord Bhagavan Baba, who is blessing all of us from his Avyakta Rupa. It is a Sai incidence that Bhagavan has showered his merciful grace on me to speak at this highest abode of peace, Prashanti Nilayam, on this holy Buddha Purnima. May I very humbly offer my pranams at thy lotus feet, our dearest Bhagavan, my most humble request to you to speak through me. Dear Sai sisters and brothers, may I humble myself and state that Bhagavan, out of his boundless love and compassion, graced Sri Lanka, my motherland, been represented in one of the speeches today and permitted me to be his minute instrument to say a few words on compassion, the foundation of Ahimsa. May I submit my prelude will carry the divine messages of Bhagavan on this subject, whilst I would continue with the analog with Lord Buddha's teachings. In known parlance, meaning for Ahimsa goes as refrain from causing harm to anybody in thought, word or deed. What does in fact Ahimsa signify? Bhagavan has the answer. It is not merely refraining from causing harm or injury to others as explicit in his divine statement, help ever, hurt never. It also implies refraining from causing harm to himself. One who harms himself cannot avoid harming others. how is this to be ensured? Be constantly examining whether his conduct is right or wrong. A self-audit. For instance, in the matter of speech, one must examine whether the words are causing pain to others. One must see that the looks are not tainted by evil intentions or thoughts. One should not listen to evil talk. Hence, everyone should see that they give no room for bad looks, bad hearing, bad speech, bad thoughts and actions, even excessive eating does violence to body. May I be certain that these few words of Bhagavan lead us to grasp in a nutshell what ahimsa is, despite the fact it is a vast subject. Lord Buddha emphasized on the same concept as sammaditti, right view or understanding, samma sankappa, right thought or attitude, samma vacha, right speech, truthful and non-harmful communication, samma kammanta, right action, samma ajiva, right livelihood, samma vayama, right effort or diligent, samma sati, right mindfulness, samma samadhi, the sense of enlightenment. If I remind myself of the subject, compassion, the foundation of ahimsa, how do we lay this foundation in life? At this instance, may I remind all of us that the foundation has to be strong, and compassion is an integral ingredient for this foundation. Our most beloved Lord, we have seen in his divine grandeur form and cherishing his love to humanity that we experienced during his earthly sojourn. Currently, we are making every effort to emulate his message, that is his life, which he has told us in his benedictions, ahimsa parabo dharma, meaning ahimsa is the most meritorious deed. Non-violence is the alternate name for truth and love. Truth is God, love is God. May I say that we are now getting closer to lay the foundation. Quite an easy way to understand what compassion is. Dear sisters and brothers, Bhagavan is the epitome of compassion and love. It was this love that he embodied himself. Help this suffering lot. The warmth of his divine compassion touched all the creatures equally. Bhagavan told his devotees not to turn away anybody from your door, be it a human or an animal. We are aware of several instances where Bhagavan identified himself with any form like dog, horse, cow, or even fly to prove his presence in the consciousness of all creatures. It is now my dharma to derive what Lord Buddha's teachings are in this sphere. What do you have to do to become a Buddhist is an appropriate question for today. Answer seems, take refuge in Buddha, the personification of wisdom. Dhamma, the ultimate reality, and Sangha, in which we do not act any way that causes division, disharmony, cruelty, unkindness to any living being, including ourselves, our own body and mind. Bhagavan said, why fear when I am here? Anyata sharanam nasti. Other than you refuge, there is none. What does this mean? The Atma, the God, is present within. Listen to the inner voice of this Atma, which gives you the right guidance instead of pain, heat to the senses. How do we win the grace of Lord? Bhagavan has said, when you have the purity of heart and mastery of senses, grace is your right. Atma is blissful, everlasting and eternal. Then why fear? take refuge in Atma, which descended from Paramatma. Lord Buddha stated in Rohitasa Sutra, the ever-blissful Nirvana resides in your body of one fathom. Lord Buddha realized that self-realization cannot be achieved through penance or prayers or austerities. He emphasized the importance of developing good vision. This leads to good thought, good speech, and good action. Bhagawan stressed on synchronizing thought, word, and deed. Lord Buddha laid four rules: cultivate good company, avoid association with evil persons, do meritorious deeds always, remember what is transient and what is eternal. Lord Buddha felt sad to see the humanity looking for happiness in the external world due to ignorance. It was his deep, individual, undivided compassion towards all beings that led him to the quest ending in enlightenment in Buddhahood. Lord Buddha defines compassion: Paradukke sati hadaya kampane karotu iti karuna. It is the shock that arises in one's heart but seeing others suffer. It is impossible for one to experience this shock unless he is fully aligned with the four Brahma Viharas, which is metta, loving kindness, karuna, compassion, mudita, sympathetic joy, upekkha, equanimity. Our beloved Swami further explains the same. The five human values, satya, dharma, shanti, prema, and ahimsa, are not independent of each other. They closely follow one another. These five qualities are bestowed on human beings as the gift of God. We as human beings have to manifest these five human values by putting them into practice. This is dharma. Dharma protects those protects dharma. As Lord Buddha explained, dhammo have rakkati dhammacharin. One who lives by this dharma is protected by this dharma. The first precept in Buddhism out of five is panatipata veramani sikkhapadan samadhyami. I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing, meaning I will respect the right of living of another being, the co-nonviolence precept. This is the fundamental ethical principle for Buddhism, and all the other precepts are elaborations of this. The precept implies acting non-violently at all times. As Bhagavan Baba says, every man should have a compassionate heart. Without compassion, all wealth or scholarship is of no use. Further, it defines compassion as a mind that is motivated by cherishing other living beings and wishes to release them from their suffering. Lord Buddha gave his teaching for the good of the many, for the happiness of the many, out of compassion for the world. Bahujana hitaya, bahujana sukhaya, lokanukampaya. This aligns with the teachings which goes as rejoice over the joy of others. Lord Buddha taught non-violence is the supreme dharma. Non-violence brings love, love brings peace, peace brings dharma, dharma enables attainment of truth. These are the life principles that a man should foster. Swami says, there's no virtue equal to compassion. What is dharma? Compassion is the highest dharma. A heart filled with compassion is the temple of the divine. Every man should have a compassion-filled heart. One of the significant incidents of transformation of violence to non-violence through compassion could be illustrated through the famous story of Angulimala. Angulimala, the robber and murderer. is one of the best known figures of the Buddhist scriptures. Angulimala was wearing 999 fingers around his neck and was eager to get the last and final one to complete his garland. He met his mother, who traveled towards him for the love she had on him. Lord Buddha realized what might happen to her should she find her son first. To prevent Angulimala from killing his own mother, Lord Buddha came in between and was walking ahead between the two. Angulimala chose Lord Buddha. He was delighted, thinking that he has at last found his last and final finger to complete his garland. Angulimala, as fast as he could, walked to catch up with the monk, who was walking at his normal pace. The bandit, who usually has been seizing any galloping animal, could not catch up with the monk in this instance. With a sense of failure, Angulimala stopped and called the monk. "Stop, monk, stop, monk." Lord Buddha responded, "Angulimala, I have stopped. It is you who have not stopped." Angulimala questioned, "While you are walking, monk, you tell me you have stopped. But now, when I have stopped, you say I have not stopped. I ask you now, what is the meaning of this? How is it you have stopped and I have not?" Lord Buddha answered, "Angulimala, I have stopped forever violence to every living being and have established myself in universal love. You have no restraint towards things that breathe. So that is why I have stopped and you have not." Angulimala instantaneously felt deeply and pledged to renounce all evil, fell at Lord Buddha's feet, who blessed him as a bhikkhu. Lord Buddha's universal compassion transformed Angulimala from violence to non-violence. The love of a mother for her child cannot be categorized as Buddhist, Hindu, Christian or Islam. It is mother's love. It is the same non-conditional universal compassion. They belong to no particular religion. Bhagavan Baba clarifies this phenomenon in a simple way. "Divinity is patent in me and it is latent in you. But today, man has forgotten his divine nature and is getting deluded by the worldly ephemeral pleasures." God has been described as the Hridayavasi, indweller in the heart. It has been said that a heart filled with compassion is a shrine of the divine. When you develop that compassion, you will have the vision of God. Before concluding my speech, please permit me to touch on the basic human values prescribed by our dearest Bhagavan. Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, and Ahimsa. Within these five human values, there's one undercurrent, that is love or compassion. The love should breathe through the practice of the human values. Love as thought is truth. Love as action is right conduct. Love as feeling is peace. Love as understanding is non-violence. Love is the foundation of Ahimsa. May Swami's blessings be upon all of us. Jai Sai Ram. Thank you.
My humble pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Lord Sai Buddha. Sai Ram, brothers and sisters. 19 years ago, I sat in this very hall during the First World Youth Conference. And Swami encouraged all of us in doing His work, even in tough times. He promised He would be beside us all the way. I was a youth then, bound to go for national service in 2 weeks' time. So I didn't really take this into perspective at that time. But 19 years forward now, I would like to sincerely thank His grace, as He never left me. Even though there were tough times, He never let me leave His work as well. This is wonderful, being among all of you. Being a Buddhist, I admittedly will tell that I was always more involved in the Sai organization than being in a Buddhist temple. But seriously, there is no difference. Swami's teachings are the teachings of all religions, no less Buddhism. I had an opportunity to lead some of the youths at the Buddhist temple my family and I attended years back. At that time, whenever I look at the image of the Buddha and I look at Swami, a feeling of peace, serenity, love just comes over you. Just the image itself. And you can know the love and compassion that comes out of it. This is where I can share as a Buddhist youth leader. I came across many monks, and one in particular who told me the development of mind and oneself is essence of what Buddha had propagated. I was told that I was always on the go, and my mind is always on the go. And that is when the chief monk advised me, do some mindfulness meditation, to be in the moment and not get caught up in life. The control of mind is very important. No control of the mind leads to various troubles. As Swami terms the mind as the monkey mind, we need to master it and be the mastermind. The Buddha says in the Dhammapada, the mind is very hard to check and swift. It falls on what it wants. The training of the mind is good. A mind so tame brings happiness. There's a story that goes along with it. Once a banker's son approached a senior venerable and asked that he wished to be released from suffering and sought advice as what he needs to do. The venerable started him on a journey of giving alms, giving fortnightly food, give lodging during rainy season, give bowls and ropes. He even undertook the 5 and 10 precepts. And then he asked the venerable again, what else do I need to do? The venerable told him, be a monk. So he said, okay, I shall be a monk. Lo and behold, being a monk in the Buddha's line has very stringent rules. And he found it even more difficult, and he found even more suffering for himself. So one day he met the Buddha, and he asked the Buddha, can you release me all of all sufferings if I become a householder? Then the Buddha said this to him, there is only one thing you need to guard, and if you guard this, there's nothing else you need to guard. And the Buddha told him, guard your thoughts, guard your mind. Sometimes life answers are simple. It is all within us. All answers are within us. With the mind not guarded, it leads to many negative emotions. We live in such a fast-paced world that we do not have time to sit back and take stock of ourselves. As a youth myself, I had experienced all this, as demands are there and so are expectations. Neglecting control of the mind leads to negative emotions, which put stress in ourselves to the extent of ruining health and happiness of oneself. And for what? Money, name, power, things which are transient and will never be for long. This is where Swami had once said to the youths that it is this stage the energy is there physically. But what do we do with it? Do we fritter it away with things that will never follow us when life comes to an end? The Buddha, through the Four Noble Truths, has given us the wisdom of sufferings of life, the cause of it, as well as how to eradicate it through Noble Eightfold Path, which are right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. you would notice the emphasis on self-development, as Prince Siddhartha himself has struggled to attain enlightenment and Buddhahood. In my view, Buddhism has wisdom and compassion as its two arms, which are interlinked. One can develop wisdom and then arise compassion, or practice compassion and arises wisdom from it. From what I know, the highest wisdom is seeing that in reality, all phenomena are incomplete, impermanent, and not self. This understanding is totally freeing and leads to great security and happiness, which is called nirvana. However, the Buddha doesn't speak too much about this level of wisdom. It is not wisdom if we simply believe what we are told. True wisdom is to directly see and understand for ourselves, and to also see other people's points of view, and not to be close-minded. Further to it, to carefully examine facts that contradict our beliefs, rather than burying our heads in the sand. To be objective, rather than prejudiced and partisan. And to take time forming our opinions and beliefs, rather than just accepting the first or most emotional thing that is offered to us. Now the Buddha, before passing into Nirvana, called his step-brother Ananda one day to impart his last message. Ananda was crying. Buddha told him that for Nirvana is what the Buddha has strived for all the years. So why should Ananda cry? Not many can secure Nirvana, only a few. Buddha told Ananda that Ananda was looking only at the earthly body. Ananda could not comprehend the bliss the Buddha was experiencing at that moment. Buddha said he had suffered a great deal over 30 years because of aberrations of the mind. It was the mind that stood between him and self-realization. That day, Buddha is free from the whole of his mind. This is the cause of his bliss. When the mind is absent, there is bliss. So similar, Swami has told us that the body of his is also impermanent. What Swami is pure atmic bliss. That is real. No difference. The Buddha stands as an example to all of us as men attaining enlightenment. He represents all of us wanting to find everlasting bliss and happiness. Now you may ask me, why so much of Buddhism is known on compassion and non-violence? As Swami said, that the virtue of non-violence is supreme in the life of Buddha. In my view, as said earlier, compassion is the other arm of Buddhism. Compassion covers the emotional aspect of ourselves. Like compassion, ko means together, and passion means a strong feeling. And this is what compassion is. When we see someone in distress, then this is compassion. So all the best in human beings, when we try to help them out, alleviate their suffering, the goodness in us, the qualities like sharing, readiness to give comfort, sympathy, concern, and care, all are manifestations of compassion. We will know what is best for others when we know what is best for ourselves. We can feel for others when we feel for ourselves. So in Buddhism, one's own spiritual development blossoms quite naturally into concern for the welfare of others. The Buddha's life illustrates this very well. He spent 6 years struggling for his own welfare, after which he was able to be of benefit to the whole of mankind. Again, if we look at Buddha's image and Swami, we feel instantaneously and we feel their love and compassion. It is their disposition. They are embodiments of love and compassion. In my understanding, it is not so much showing compassion, but being compassionate. In my prayers to Swami, I had asked on how to be compassionate. What I felt the answer was that there is a need to eradicate negative qualities and emotions in us, which is why guarding of the mind is important. In my own experience, when we are filled with anger, hatred, anxiety and distress, we are too caught up in the world. We forget who we are. We are love. Swami calls us embodiments of love. Just like Prince Siddhartha, who was troubled in finding the answers to old age, sickness, etc. But when freed from the mind, he became the Buddha, an enlightened one. When we get rid of all the bad qualities within us, do we then reflect our true nature of love? And being compassionate and able to show compassion as wisdom arises and directs our compassionate nature to what is right for one and all. However, we struggle each day with a battle within us of fighting between good and evil. Foremost, dear brothers and sisters, I have learned from Buddha's life and from Swami is that development of oneself is important. Most importantly, we should show love and compassion to ourselves first, to encourage ourselves in the path. Just like Prince Siddhartha struggled for a number of years to attain enlightenment, we too are doing the same. But we are very lucky to have Bhagavan with us to guide us every step of the way. I feel we should never distance ourselves from Buddha's life, as we are all Prince Siddharthas on the journey to self-realization. With this, I pray to Swami always in his ever so compassionate ways to bless all of us with wisdom and ultimately reaching Nirvana. Jai Sai Ram.
Dearest Swami, Nepal is a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multilingual country. It has 125 ethnic groups and 123 languages. Communal harmony, mutual respect for each other's cultural practices and heritage are the hallmark of Nepali society. Swami, gathered at your lotus feet today, eager to present a garland of colorful cultural dances to you, are the SSE children, students of the Satya Sai School of Pokhara, and the Sai youth of the Satya Sai International Organization of Nepal. Today, they will offer four dances at your divine lotus feet. The program starts off with a Ganesha Vandana dance, hailing him as the son of Mother Uma, Lord of Lords, and provider of happiness and strength. They will then move on to a Maruni dance. This dance emphasizes how fleeting human life can be and encourages us to live a life of pureness and simplicity. The third dance is a simple and joyful folk dance devoted to the Creator, encouraging us to continuously chant the name of Lord Hari with a pure heart. The final dance in today's performance is a Maithili dance from Janakpur, located in the southern plain of Nepal. Mithila, the former name of Janakpur, is famed to be the birthplace of Mother Sita. The song that is the backdrop of today's dance is sung on the auspicious marriage day of Sita and Rama, which till today is celebrated with splendor in Janakpur. The lyrics of the song is in the language Maithili, which remains a popular language spoken in Janakpur and its surrounding areas. Let us now welcome the youths and children from Nepal to offer these dances to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, la la la. Gajanana,
Gauri
Nijanandana Niranjana. He Gauri Nandana Gajanana. Parvati Nandana Shubha. Prasanna Pahi Prabho Maam Pahi Prasanna Gauri Nandana Gajanana Nandana Niranjana He Gauri Nandana Gajanana Parvati Nandana Shubhanana Parvati Nandana Shubhanana Pahi Prabho Maam Pahi Prasanna Pahi Prabho Maam Pahi Prasanna Gauri Nandana Gajanana
Sainath Bhagavan.
Mm-hmm. राम हरे हरे राम बोलो राम हरे हरे राम बोलो हरे राम बोलो साई राम बोलो हरे राम बोलो साई राम बोलो राम हरे हरे राम बोलो साई रामा परम दयाला साई रामा परम दयाला परम दयाला परम दयाला परम दयाला परम दयाला मन मंदिर में दिया मंदिर में दिया उजाला राम हरे हरे राम हरे राम बोलो साई राम बोलो राम हरे हरे राम बोलो साई रामा परम दयाला परम दयाला परम दयाला परम दयाला परम दयाला मन मंदिर में दिया हरे हरे राम बोलो अल्लाह साई बोलो मौला साई 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 बोलो राम हरे हरे राम बोलो
ओम जय जगदीश हरे स्वामी सत्य साई हरे भक्त जन संघर्षक भक्त जन संघर्षक भक्ति महेश्वरा ओम जय जगदीश हरे शिव जना श्रीगरा सर्वा प्राणपते स्वामी सर्वा प्राणपते आश्रित कल्पलदीका आश्रित कल्पलदीका आवत्पाण्डवा ॐ जय जगदीश हरे माता पिता गुरुदेवं मरियन्दयुनीवे स्वामी मरियन्दयुनीवे
నాద బ్రహ్మ జగన్నాథ నాద బ్రహ్మ జగన్నాథ నాగేంద్ర శయన ఓం జయ జగదీశ హరే ఓంకార రూప ఓజస్వీ సాయి మహాదేవ సత్య సాయి మహాదేవ మంగళారతి అందు మంగళారతి అందు మంగళగిరిధారి ఓం జై జగదీశరే నారాయణ నారాయణ సత్య నారాయణ 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 సత్య నారాయణ నారాయణ సత్య నారాయణ నారాయణ ఓం జై సద్గురుదేవా నారాయణ 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 ఓం నారాయణ నారాయణ ఓం నారాయణ నారాయణ ఓం జై సద్గురుదేవా నారాయణ నారాయణ ఓం సత్య నారాయణ 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 ఓం నారాయణ నారాయణ ఓం సత్య నారాయణ నారాయణ ఓం సత్య నారాయణ నారాయణ ఓం జై శాంతి సమస్త లోకాః సుఖినో భవంతు సమస్త లోకాః సుఖినో భవంతు సమస్త లోకాః సుఖినో భవంతు ఓం శాంతి 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 జై బోలో భగవాన్ శ్రీ సత్య సాయి బాబాజీ కీ జై
ఓం శ్రీ సాయి రామ్ ఇన్వోకింగ్ భగవాన్స్ డివైన్ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ Tomorrow being Sunday, the evening session in Sai Kulwant Hall will commence at 4:30 with Bhagawan's Divya Darshan, followed by Vedam chanting at 5 p.m. At 5:30, the cultural presentations offered by Satya Sai International Organizations, Zone 4 and Zone 5 devotees on the occasion of Buddha Purnima will commence with sacred Buddhist chants. Brother Amar Karki, the central coordinator, will then deliver the introductory speech, followed by a talk by Brother Billy Fong from Malaysia. We'll then have traditional Nepalese dance, followed by bhajans by the international team. The evening session will conclude with Mangalarti, followed by Bhagawan's Divya Darshan. This evening, we have one more very pleasant announcement to make. The results of All India Senior School Certificate Examinations conducted by the CBSE Board for the 12th standard students all over India has been declared today. Like every year, with Bhagwan's blessings, the students of Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School Prashantilayam have come out with flying colors. Out of 136 students, who sat for this year's 12th standard CBSE board examinations from our school, all students have passed with first class. Out of 136 students, 133 have received the O grade distinction and 44 students, boys and girls, have got above 90%. This year's school topper, Miss Sai Shruti Dubey, has got 96%, followed by The second rank holder, Miss R. Sai Leela, with 95.8%. And at third rank, we have Miss R. Karishma with 95.6%. The students and staff members of Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School offer their love and gratitude to Bhagwan for being with them in every step of their humble and prayerful endeavor. Jai Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Swamivari Divyanugra Asisalato Sai Kulwan Sabha Mandapanlo Repati Adivara Sayankala Karyakramam Nalgunnar Gantalaku Swamivari Divya Darshanato Prarambhamai 5 Gantalaku Veda Patanamto Konasagutundi 5 Gantala 30 Nimishalaku Sathya Sai Antarjatiya Samsthala Zone 4 Mariyu Zone 5 Deshala Nundi Vichesina Bhaktula Rendava Roju Patyatralo Bhaganga Buddha Purnimanu Parusukoni Pavitra Bauddha Mantralu Patinchabadtayi ఈ కార్యక్రమానంతరం శ్రీ అమర్ కర్కి గారు పరిచయ ఉపన్యాసం ఇస్తారు. తదుపరి మలేషియా దేశస్థులు శ్రీ బిల్లీ ఫాంగ్ గారు ప్రసంగిస్తారు. అనంతరం సాంప్రదాయక నేపాలీ నృత్యం సమర్పించబడుతుంది. సాయి కులవంత్ సభా మండపంలో రేపటి సాయంకాల కార్యక్రమం అంతర్జాతీయ బృందంచే భజనతో కొనసాగి మంగళహారతితో ముగియను. అనంతరం స్వామివారి దివ్య దర్శనం. ఈ సాయంకాలం మరో ఆనందదాయకమైన విషయం తెలియజేయుచున్నాం. దేశవ్యాప్తంగా నిర్వహింపబడిన సిబిఎస్ఈ బోర్డ్ 12వ తరగతి పరీక్షా ఫలితాలు ఈ రోజున వెలువడినాయి. ప్రశాంతి నిలయానికి చెందిన శ్రీ సత్యసాయి హైయర్ సెకండరీ స్కూల్ విద్యార్థులు ఎప్పటిలాగే ఈ సంవత్సరం కూడా అత్యుత్తమ ఫలితాలను సాధించారు. 12వ తరగతి పరీక్షలకు 136 మంది విద్యార్థులు హాజరు కాగా 133 మంది విద్యార్థులు ఓ గ్రేడ్ డిస్టింక్షన్ సాధించారు. 44 మంది విద్యార్థులు 90% మార్కులు పొందారు. 96% కుమారి సాయి శృతి డూబే ప్రథమ స్థానం, 95.8% కుమారి ఆర్ సాయిలీల ద్వితీయ స్థానం మరియు 95.6% కుమారి ఆర్ కరిష్మా తృతీయ స్థానాన్ని పొందారు. శ్రీ సత్యసాయి హైయర్ సెకండరీ స్కూల్కు చెందిన విద్యార్థులు మరియు సిబ్బంది స్వామివారి దివ్య మార్గదర్శకత్వమునకు ప్రేమతో కృతజ్ఞతలు సమర్పించుకుంటున్నారు. జై సాయిరాం.